Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to pardon and sanctify me. And I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a that old rugged cross. I will ever be true, and its shame and reproach I'll gladly bear. And he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glories forever I'll share. Cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a
I don't know how I survived in this cold and empty world for all this time. I only know I'm alive because you loved me. As I look back on what I've been through, there are things that I wish I didn't do, but now I do the things I do because you love me. And now that you're in my life, I'm so glad I'm alive, 'cause you've showed me the way, and I know now how good it can
things unseen. I believe in the message of a dream, and I believe in who you are, because you love me. So with all my heart and all my soul, I'm loving you, and I never will let go. From now on, I'll let it show, because you love me. Because you loved me.
There's going to be a test after this, so you should be listening, okay? We'll do that. Let's pray together before we read John chapter 10. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you. You came here, and then also, through the centuries, you gave us the scriptures that are true. The most incredible piece of literature the human race has ever seen, telling us your view of things. Thank you for the word. We ask you to open it to us today and help us. Open our hearts and minds by your Spirit. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 10, begin at verse 14. In fact, let's make it verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, Jesus says. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks and the flock is scattered. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason the Father loves me is I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Jesus, we always talk about him being God, and it's so true. But you know that he was also 100% man. He was the God-man. He was also human. He's the role model for what a man really is. Years ago, there was a theater on Huron Street, amazingly, creatively entitled, called the Huron Theater. It was amazing that they came up with that. Boy, we used to go there. I think Mom and Dad on a Saturday would just get us out of the house. Because, how can I put it? They were young and they'd been working all week. That's all I'm saying at church, okay? They chased each other around their whole lives. It was embarrassing, I'm telling you. They would send us down to the Huron Theater when I first saw him. The man that played that cowboy on the screen, John Wayne. Big old burly dude wearing a leather jacket, leather chaps, had really cool guns. And he was this man's man. And I was so attracted to the man that he was. And I thought about it. And the reason I was so attracted to John Wayne and the dude that the Duke was that he was big and he was powerful. And he was cocky and he had that swagger to him. But what made him so attractive, he used his strength to protect the weak. To me, that was just beautiful. He played those roles where he didn't talk about manhood. They never talked about it in those movies. They just showed you manhood. Man, it was great. The old Huron Theater, long gone. I remember in 1957, I was 4 years old and we got our first TV. You know, my older brother and I, he was much older, even far more experienced. He was 7 or 6, something like that. And he fell in love with Superman. He loved the Superman program, and we always watched Superman, you know. And then think of all those old shows. But Superman, what a dude, you know. He was this strong man that seemed like a dithering idiot that worked for the newspaper as Clark Kent with the funny glasses and all that stuff. But then, you know, all of a sudden, something would happen in the city where evil would be taking over the city, and everybody would be saying, "Where's Superman?" And all of a sudden, Clark Kent would be out in the street. He'd look both ways. I love Tony Evans, my pastor friend in in Texas. He and his brother grew up in Texas, and he said, well, they love to watch Superman. And whenever Clark Kent, when they're calling for Superman, and whenever Clark Kent looked both ways and took his glasses off, Tony said, I said to my brother, there he go. Okay, I just love that. And Superman would save the day with his supernatural power, inhuman power he had to leap tall buildings at a single bound, you know, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive. But what was so cool, he never used his power for himself. He always used it for the people of his city. That's a beautiful picture of manhood. And I love that. It always thrilled me to see these men. Manhood has fallen into incredible confusion these last decades. It's just weird out there right now, you guys. What happened? Well, if you think about it, some things happened. Vietnam happened. You know, a strange war that nobody would end, and all these people were dying for, like, no purpose. And I had friends and family that died in that war, and there was no purpose to that. I remember President Johnson couldn't make a decision about what to do with this war, and he talked to President Eisenhower, and Ike said, look, either win the thing or get out of there. And he didn't do it, and it went on for some years. And because of that, everybody started questioning authority. And then there was the presidency of Richard Nixon right in there too, where a president didn't act presidential, and some crooked stuff happened, and he went to jail. And then all the bumper stickers start showing up, question authority. And it's not so much question authority to make sure they have authority. The idea behind that is that nobody has any authority. And then we've had all kinds of leaders that have fallen into all kinds of junk for all these years. And the whole idea of manhood has just been wiped out. We've lost our heroes. The trashing of heroes. Now we go back in the past, and so since we've had a few, doofuses that have been leading us, but then you go back, and we're trying to undo our heroes of the past. Where even President Washington is viewed as evil because he owned slaves. Well, you've got to go back to that era to understand what was happening in those days. And, you know, we are Bible believers here, so we understand that all people are fallen. Everybody is flawed. There is no perfect examples. But President Washington, do you know anything about him? Do you know that they tried to get President Washington, George Washington, to become the King of America? And he knew what a representative republic we were supposed to be, and he would not take the call to become king. Because that's what they were used to. They had a king from England, right? So the majority kind of just wanted a king. And the founders were so wise in that. President Washington should be our hero. And then there's President Jefferson, one of the most gifted men ever living on the North American continent. That incredible Virginian. You ought to read everything you can about him. Incredible man. Flawed guy. But the writer of the Declaration of Independence, along with John Adams, and I think Mr. Madison was involved in that. But the inventions he came up with, the brilliance of that man, and so much of what he has done and who he was should be a hero to us. And it goes on. But the problem is we're trashing, it seems, all these guys. Kara is a common hipster girl. And she had no sense of history at all, and she went to Nashville. And she was alone, so she went to Franklin. And in Franklin, Tennessee, there is this beautiful old plantation house that was commandeered by the Confederate Army as a hospital during the war. And she went in and did the walk and was blown away. She kept sending videos to all of us, bawling about what she was learning. And then she went to the Grand Ole Opry, the mother church, right? And she saw the history and heard those old boards creak in the floor, and she bawled through all of that too. But what she said yesterday is, why didn't I hear any of this in high school? Why did I didn't hear about the bravery of those men and women during the Civil War? Why didn't I hear it? She was pretty angry about it. And now she's gonna go after it now. Today, we've lost the whole idea. The majority of boys today are raised on violence, pornography, and video games. And they will never grow up to be the men that they were called to be in this world unless they are born a second time through Jesus. I mean, it's really a crazy time. So not only is manhood in trouble today, manhood, you got to understand something, was God's idea. Male and female, he created them. That's pretty important. God gave strength as a gift from him. It's given to be a blessing to others. True strength is always given to bless other people. But we've had men who've used their strength selfishly and have abused people with their strength that we're now trying to destroy manhood altogether. And now the whole idea, there's this war against masculinity, and we must never cave to. The biblical view of manhood is very interesting. It's to be this protector. It's to be chivalrous, opening doors for women, children, and the weaker, taking care, using our strength to protect the weak. It's a biblical idea, and you see pictures of it throughout the Bible, and I see pictures of it next door from Chief Ronk, who charged into disaster for 40 years to help the weak and broken. There are heroes all around us, but the biblical view is that. And Jesus himself was just the perfect man. But let me just say one other thing to you, if I can get back here. It truly was God's idea of manhood. And today, manhood is viewed in one of two ways. It's viewed either, number one, as macho, where some big shot who uses his strength to dominate and bully the weak. That's seen as manhood in our world. It's evil and it's wrong. This is someone who's not grown up emotionally and has grown up only on the outside and is just an insecure, selfish little boy. And the other way of viewing manhood is by destroying it, by emasculating all men, to turn away from masculinity altogether, to pretend there is no difference between men and women. Your strength has no purpose, so being strong isn't a good thing. You know, a couple more pictures of fatherhood. How many of you ever watched Robert Young? That wise, strong, compassionate leader of his family, where now men are portrayed pretty much as just, you know, dunces that watch TV and eat stuff and don't care about anybody. Or the Andy Griffith Show. That idea of that strong dad who loved his son and always taught his son how to be a man. I mean, those are beautiful pictures that we as believers need to bring back. So, in the midst of all of this, we have to see Jesus as the perfect man. He is a man. He is the man. Charles Walter, I miss him. He used to sit in the front row right here. And we call him Chucky. He used to refer to the Lord as the big guy or the man. And by the way, that's not disrespectful. Those are both true. Jesus is the man. He is the picture. He is the one who is all-powerful God, but yet when he entered our world, he entered it as a child, a baby, to a middle-class working family who are in the midst of a trip to go register to pay taxes. There he is in a manger, in a stall, the King of Glory. That is manhood. Not intimidated to be weak. I just love that. We read Jesus in John chapter 10 here when he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. He took his power and served the human race and all of us by his own death. Notice the strength of this man. Now you understand, Jesus was not operating as God when he was here. He laid his abilities aside and followed God the Father and trusted God the Holy Spirit. And so when he's here, he's God-man, but he wasn't using his powers as God. And so he's being crucified, brutally beaten to death. Isaiah said we'd hardly even recognize him as a human being. That's how bad it was. And in the midst of it all, they're nailing Jesus to the cross. You know, we've heard it so many times, it doesn't even affect us emotionally anymore. They're pounding spikes through his body to impale him to the cross. And his words are these: Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Don't hold this against them, Lord. God, beautiful. The other is he's already fallen. He's lost so much blood. He's walking to Calvary. He's fallen. They've had Simon the Cyrene, a black man from Africa, carry Jesus' cross behind him. And the women who loved him and had listened to him were weeping. And he stops everything in the procession of his walk to Calvary. And he said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves. Because the day is coming for this city when the blessed ones will be the mothers who don't have children. Because it's going to be awful." He knew the future, being God. And he was worried about them. Do you see that? That's a man. That is a man. He washed his disciples' feet. And that's an amazing thing in John chapter 13. It says when Judas had already betrayed him, set that whole thing into motion, everything was set up. Jesus knew he was about to return to his Father, that all this was going to happen. He knew all this. And when it was all set, he takes off his outer clothes. He had a really nice robe that he wore. It was beautiful. The soldiers talk about it when they're crucifying him. They don't want to tear it up and just take the rags. They, "This is really nice. Let's shoot dice for it." Okay. Well, Jesus takes that robe off, puts a towel around his waist like a slave boy would do, and he gets a basin of water and starts going to his disciples and starts washing their feet. It was Jesus giving them an example of manhood. A strong man serves others. Oh, man, it's just so beautiful to me. I have known bully preachers. I have known these idiots for Jesus that try to dominate people just like a macho idiot does in the rest of the world. I had watched them for years after I'd become a Christian, disillusioned by them. And then within a one-year span, I met two men. First of all, I was 22 years old and I met this little dude named Myron Gall. And Myron Gall was a little dude, but he was a weightlifter. The dude was ripped. And he was a gentleman. And at the same time, when you got in a difficult situation, he would stand up and protect the innocent. I saw this guy in the hospital crying over little children who didn't have anybody in their room with them, and he would go in and sit with them and stew that no family was with this poor little kid. I mean, that changed my life. And there's this other little guy too. His name was Roger Campbell. He might have been little and slight, but he was a giant. But man, when the rubber met the road, he would look you in the eye and tell you the truth. I mean, it was beautiful, the protecting the innocent. It all summed up, I think, in what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." He's the real dude. He gave himself to us, and it cost him everything. That is the definition of heroic, and it's the way Christian men ought to be acting today. We got to quit taking our cues from the world. We got to start taking them from Jesus. There was a shooting in a movie theater 4 years ago. 12 people went to the movies and they never came home because some nut went in there with a weapon and just started shooting people. It's happened a few times. But in reading the article, I was amazed at something. There are three young men who died shielding their girlfriends from the bullets of that evil man. Where does that come from? How does that happen? I'm going to tell you where it comes from. It comes from an instinct that God has placed in the soul of every man. That in our best version, we protect those who are our families and the weak. And now I call you to action. Our society is now talking about suffocating babies if they are born alive when they're supposed to be aborted. God will judge this nation and the Western world. And we are the people of God here not to just go along, get along to go along. We have to stand up and our voices have to be heard. This is not a political issue. This isn't about politics. I don't care what side of the aisle you are on. This is evil. And if you're going to be a Christian, and if you're going to protect the weakest of our society, begin right there. Nothing else matters. I'm going to tell you something else. Dr. Schaefer, Francis Schaefer, and Joe Miner put a thing on of C. Everett Koop. The two of them together did a series, Whatever Happened to the Human Race, back in the early 70s, about this whole abortion issue. Dr. Schaefer said they're going to do this to the children, and then they're going to do it to you in old age. That's just the next step in all this. That's the direction our society is going. And by the way, we don't talk about this whole stuff a whole lot. But I'm telling you guys, it's time for us to stand up for the innocent. Phil Kagi wrote a song years ago, "Who will speak up for the little ones, helpless and half abandoned?" May it be us. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the beautiful picture of your Son and the man that he is. And I ask that you would help us as Christians to also be able to hold heroes and to hold up heroes to those who are examples to others, especially you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for those who protect us. I think of the fire station and the police station just down the street, those good women and men that protect us. We're so grateful for them. Make so little and yet lay their lives down every day. We are so grateful for them. Lord, thank you for our time together today. And help us, Lord. We have been relegated to a church building. We can talk about these kind of things here, but we can't do anything about it outside, they think. Lord, help us to stand up. Help us to be counted. Lord, one day we will give an account. May we have done the right thing in this. Help us. Lord, we ask that you would transform our country. We ask that you would again bring us an awakening within the culture that only comes through the gospel of Jesus. And Lord, again, the folks that think opposite of us only is because they don't know you. And we ask that you would help in this. We thank you for our day today. Ask for your blessing on everybody in the room. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.